Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by and about young people in Mendocino County, California. This program is funded through Laytonville Healthy Start with Jama Shield Spence and produced by Dan Roberts. Our website is youthspeaksout.net. We are all seniors at Laytonville High School. I am Eve.
I am Natalia.
I am Corona.
Since we are sheltering in place, we are creating the show on FaceTime. Today we have several different topics. First, what were we talking about before coronavirus took all of our attention? Youth Speaks Out produced shows on vaping, opioid abuse, and dress codes earlier this year, before we even know what coronavirus was. Then we did a show on graduating in the time of the pandemic, and last month we presented the seventh in our series of Revisioning High School. Now, on the last day of May, protests against police brutality have swept across the country, and riots and mayhem are a nightly event. Since we live in the mountains of a very rural Northern California, we only know this from social media. The world looks pretty normal up here. On the other hand, we are about to graduate from Laytonville High School and have all been accepted into colleges. Only we do not know if the colleges will be online or in classrooms, and we are not sure if remote education will be satisfactory. It was definitely not what we were anticipating. Since all states have lessened the shelter-in-place orders, many worry that we will soon have a new wave of the illness spread. So the future is very uncertain, might even say precarious. And that is true for everyone, not just graduating high school students. There is much to discuss, but let's begin by updating our situations with our educational plans. What is graduating going to look like, and what we have heard from our colleges?
We are going to have a graduation ceremony. And the Corona knows, no, she'll explain it.
It is, so it's going to be kind of like a parking lot graduation. So each student will have a family in a car that they'll ride in with their family. And for the actual graduation part, they'll park in the teacher parking lot. And then each student will be called up separately. And then the car will pull around, probably, and they'll walk out and then get back in the car after they get their diploma. So mostly everyone will be in the cars but then just come out for the time. Me and Natalia are actually valedictorian and salutatorian, so we're going to be making the speeches.
Yeah, that's what's up. We're geniuses. Legally defined.
But there's going to be a lot less people there. Mr. Henry doesn't
want. It's only allowed to be, I think, immediate family are supposed to be most of the people that are allowed to come, basically.
And it's supposed to be a really small graduation, and then after, there's going to be a parade, so all of the cars are going to drive around town, and then the whole community can celebrate graduation, kind of, from a distance.
Yeah.
And we're gonna all decorate our cars with, like, the colleges we're going to, or Warriors, or whatever we want, for the parade, too.
Which is tough for, like, since so many colleges are canceled. Not canceled, but, like, online for the next semester.
Yeah.
But, yes, that is the plan. Oh, I was just saying it's kind of tough because a lot of the kids that I know were going to state colleges or state schools, and so a lot of them are not canceled, but online for the next semester, which is kind of tough for them just because
they're not super excited about it anymore.
It's kind of hard to do online stuff here, yeah. Especially when you haven't done it before.
I think all of the state universities.
I think UCs are varies.
Yeah, the UC, the University of California system, I'm not sure. I think some of those haven't fully decided to go online, but all of the state schools have for sure been. And a lot of the students from Laytonville High School usually go to the Sonoma State or Humboldt State schools nearby.
Yeah, just because so it's more accessible.
Yeah, so it's definitely hard on a lot of the kids.
Just kind of stuck here, round two.
I dislike the way our school is doing graduation. I think it's not necessary, especially since social distancing has been restricted. The fact that we have to have graduation in our school parking lot with only the people that we live in view of us, you know, and we have to drive around the parking lot and we can't even interact with our fellow classmates. It just kind of ruins the whole point of graduation for me personally. And it won't be this, like, beautiful ceremony that we have every year at our school that's always, like, during sunset out in our field. It's going to be in the parking lot with noisy cars all around. And it doesn't seem like a celebration to me. It just seems like we're just doing it to do it. Like, I'd rather just have my diploma mailed to me personally. You know, I just don't like it. I feel like
I have to do the opening speech for this graduation because I am student body president of the high school, and I am really struggling coming up with a positive opening speech besides like, "Welcome to the Laytonville High School parking lot graduation." It's not what I always hoped graduation would be. It won't be a beautiful ceremony with all my friends and family around. It'll be a parking lot full of cars with Mr. Henry on the stage. You know, and then I'll see everybody through a window and then we'll have to drive off around town. And then that's it, you know? Like, what are they trying to... I just don't understand, like, what they're trying to prevent. Like, we all... If we see each other, that's just going to make each other sad, especially all of us sad, especially since we can't even interact with each other right now. What do they expect people to do after the ceremony is over? Do they expect people to just be like, goodbye, you know, goodbye for now? You know, because I might not see many of my classmates again after our parking lot graduation. And so it's really disappointing. And so I'd just rather just get the diploma and just not have a bad memory of graduation. Like, we're small enough to have a normal one, in my opinion, as long as we just wear a mask and social distance. On the other hand, it's not like there's not crowds of people everywhere, all over the country currently. It's all about perspective. I will be attending Oregon State University in the fall. I will be attending in person because my university is taking great strides to research, not only research disease, but kind of figure out how we can contain it and also continue our education there and many of the projects they do at my university. They've been keeping us very well informed throughout the pandemic, which I've really appreciated. At first, they were just waiting on feedback from the Oregon governors, but then they got the go, and then we even have federal grants given to my university for public health research because we are a large public health research university. They told us about a project they will be doing in Corvallis as well as in Oregon State, where they will be testing a group of people. I think they said there was about 950 people that they are currently studying, and they will be testing them every week and see how the disease progresses as it goes on and like how their symptoms, and they monitor their symptoms, and they're even monitoring asymptomatic people who do test positive for the virus and antibodies. And the fact that they're even telling us all that they're doing is just, I find it so amazing. And I'm really looking forward into just going there. And I really appreciate that I picked a school that is contributing to helping this pandemic. And so I'm really excited to attend there this fall. We're going to have some weird stuff at my school. We're all going to have to wear masks inside if we're not in our dorm, like 24/7. Like, if we're inside in the university building, we're wearing masks. And we're all going to have a badge with our name, university ID, and photo on it to prove that we're a student here and we're not just hanging out. And that, and like, all their camp, they like moved all lecture classes, and all lecture classes are going to be first outside on in like our stadiums. They're saying, like, if you have symptoms, you will get tested, and we will test your roommates. You know, they're really into the because they're really studying contact tracing in asymptomatic people. So, like, if one person gets sick, they're going to test who they sit by, who they room with. Like, because that's also the idea of the ID numbers. You know, they can ID where we sit, and so they know who was around us during our class. Even though it will be strange, it will feel like it. This whole pandemic kind of felt like a weird apocalyptic story.
Karen and I are both going to school in Los Angeles, and my older sister lives in Palm Springs about. So we kind of both figured that if our stuff kind of went online for that time, we would both try to move out of Laytonville with my sister and then either decide whether or not we're going to go online or just try to work and take, like, a gap year and maybe just do whatever we could within, like, legal reason for fun.
Yeah, it makes around. A lot of sense in this time to take a gap year a little bit just because it seems silly to pay the same amount of money for when you're not getting the same real experience that you would be. But personally, I thought about it for a while, and I'm just kind of too excited to go to college. I want to finish as much as I want to start. Yeah. Like, I want to move on to the next thing as much as I want to get started. So I want to like, do it now.
I think I'd probably, if it was just a semester, for sure, just a semester, I think I could do that. Just because I could just take, like, 3 G's or something and then just, like, get that out of the way and then have just, like, cool, like, interesting classes by the time I get there.
Yeah.
But,
I'd rather do a semester online than postpone my whole college career for a whole year.
Yeah.
I guess.
Even though we did skip a grade. It's okay. Yeah. It's chill.
I skipped fifth grade.
I went to Sparrow Rock School, so we kind of had official grades, but we kind of did the work at our own pace. So when I, like, finished Sparrow Rock, I was just, I was, had all my work done to go into the sixth grade. So that's what grade that, like, they put me in.
I'm going to be going to Occidental College. And it's right next to, like, Eagle Rock, kind of, in LA. So, like, kind of smack dab in the city. It's, like, about 2,000 students, so it's, like, a small liberal arts college. I'm probably going to be studying some form of, like, political justice slash, you know, something like that that would help me gear towards, like, juvenile defense, being a juvenile defense attorney. So maybe it would be, like, it might be, like, child development or something like that, or some form of, like, political justice, or, like, maybe political science, but I hope not. And maybe, like, philosophy. I'm not sure. They have a lot of really cool, interesting options for the majors. There's a lot of really, like, diversified things for people that want to do different stuff, which is cool. And then they have a lot of really good art and music opportunities. So I'm going to try to double major, hopefully, in music production and whatever else I do. But it might be a lot, so I might just minor in something or just take classes that interest me. But that's kind of the game plan. And, yeah.
So I'm also going to go to a small liberal arts college in LA, hopefully. It's called Claremont McKenna. It's part of the five Claremont colleges that are all kind of one big college. It's, like, right up next to the San Bernardino Mountains. I'm probably going to, the major I'm interested in right now is called Philosophy and Public Affairs, but I'll probably study some form of political science or public policy, or something like that.
Coronavirus hasn't been affecting my personal life that much, besides not going to school. I do not get to work my summer job. I was hoping to work out at Camp Winter Rainbow as a counselor. I'm very, very sad about that, especially not only for me, but for everyone who relies on that camp for their happiness during the summer, really. All those campers that dedicated to go every year, and all the counselors that come back every year, and the staff that worked so hard to do it. You know, that really sucked for me. I heard the news about a couple days ago that won't be opening up. But they were really trying to open, and at the end of the day, people can't travel to camp. You know, and there's not enough kids in Laytonville to fund the camp. So, it's sad. But me personally, I have my family here, and it's not too bad. I do worry about my other family out in other places, especially my grandmother. She lives in Louisville, where there are some riots there currently, but she says it's fine. She just hears them. But we don't get to see her now. She is supposed to be here currently. If Corona wasn't happening, she would be here right now and celebrating our birthdays with us and going to graduation. You know, that's something that's sad. I think about a coronaless alternate universe, kind of just how I thought senior year would pan out, and it's just, that really just makes me sad, you know, because there were plans and now they're gone. We have a lot of money that we need to do something with in our school. You know, we raised a bunch of money this school year for, like, our school trips that got canceled. And it sucks that we, us seniors, can't participate in a trip that we have fun for. And so that was really disappointing for me. But otherwise, I'm just here. I'm waiting it out. That's really all I can do right now until I hopefully go to Oregon.
I think, it's obviously impacted in some ways. Like, people definitely, you know, people have to wear masks in stores and things, but definitely compared to, like, more populated areas, people care less about the things they need to do to shelter in place. I think there's less of an immediate fear just because no one here really knows people with coronavirus, or there's no direct relation to it, except now that the cases are doubling. But because no one is forced to, like, look at what's happening here, and there's nothing to be afraid of, that people aren't really taking it that seriously. But people are definitely still taking precautions for shelter in place.
Yeah, like, I would definitely say, like, the masks are happening. Like, people are wearing masks in stores for sure, mostly. Like for a while, like, no one was wearing masks. But yeah. Now it's, like, you know, pretty large consensus of mask wearing. I don't know.
Yeah, but I would say just because of, like,
yeah.
Also, like, because of the economy here and how everybody makes money, there's a lot of traveling that happens and people going back and forth from other places. So that would be one thing that people don't really take into account because it's just part of their job.
Yeah. So recently, George Floyd, an African-American man, was killed by a police officer.
And I actually just recently found out that they had worked together.
17 years.
The police officer had worked at the restaurant for 17 years. But the guy had been hired there a year ago, and they'd been working together for, like,
almost a year. Oh, the chick on the news, like, some lady who knew them said that they worked together for 17 years.
Oh, that's not good. Anyway, they were coworkers.
They were coworkers.
They were coworkers beforehand, and so it was premeditated murder. It was not like he knew him, and this was like it wasn't just some random guy.
But yeah, he killed him by kneeling on his head for like
7 minutes or something
several minutes. And so people, as a reaction, they started rioting and looting and protesting in various places. I know Minneapolis was one really big place that a lot of people were rioting. Oakland,
I saw Atlanta this morning. A lot of people.
Just a lot of places with large, you know, populations of African-American people or minorities that are upset about what happened.
Yeah. And I think also, like, it's taken really new light because since coronavirus, like, people have really, at least I hope this is what's happening, have, like, started to change their perspectives just because they've been home, and people start to see, like, things that they thought mattered doesn't really matter anymore, and things start to become clear. Sometimes when there's more space and just break time, everybody's taking a break. And I hope that that is somewhat related to it, and that people are starting to realize that it's more important than they thought.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the outrage is mainly just because there were protests about the coronavirus, the Shelter in Place Act. Like, people, armed people, mostly white people, were, like, coming to the Capitol with, like, guns and various things, protesting, you know, protesting technically, I mean, legally, you know, peacefully protesting their, you know, they didn't want to be sheltering in place. And no one was harmed. There was no tear gas used. No one was shot with rubber bullets. There was no physical violence. They were all fine. And then they left in the middle of a pandemic where, like, that was incredibly, like, in the middle of, like, the height of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of the outrage is also with when people were peacefully protesting. Originally, they were being met with a lot of violence by the police when, just weeks ago, white people were doing the same thing and they were fine.
And nothing was happening.
So that was just kind of like double outrage, I think, just once it all kind of starts, like, stacking up.
And it's part of it, like, there have been peaceful protests for a lot of the looting and stuff comes from, like, there's been peaceful protests for decades and decades and decades. And it hasn't really fully, I mean, it's, you know, definitely made improvements, but we haven't, there's still a lot to be done. And hasn't really been working, the peaceful protests. So it seems like people, you know, it's time to, like, grab people's attention. And if it's an aggressive way, that just might need to be what it is.
Yeah. And of course, we don't support, like, people looting, like, small businesses, especially owned by, like, people of color. And I don't think that any people rioting are going for businesses like that, like, purposefully in any way. But, like, of course, like, there's, like, really large masses of hundreds of people, like, in a whole street messing things up. It's like things are gonna get messed up, and obviously, like, you don't want to condone tons and tons of violence, but in my mind, I think that's kind of what needs to happen for people to pay attention.
Kind of the point is that there has to be some large draw of attention.
And I also think that as people and as our country, we can also help out the people that we have money, we can help out people who were looted or were, like, who, like, you know, people of color whose entire businesses got shut down in other places. Like, just be aware of things that are happening and help the other areas that are down while you're trying to help out other people. Like, people are, like, people who have been looted, you know, they're speaking up about how they're upset about that.
Yeah.
And I think that it's also our job to help people who have been
disrespectfully looted and wrongfully as well. But I don't think we should necessarily stop.
But it's less important if you're talking to people that who lost their lives to police brutality, I guess, at that point.
At least they're still alive.
I saw something about the protest in Atlanta this morning, and both streets, like, all the buildings were, like, trash, and then the Waffle House was standing, and there was a lot of people in front of the Waffle House that were like, don't mess up the Waffle House, we have to keep the Waffle House, and, like, that was the one thing they saved.
The one thing they kept safe. No, but I saw people, like, you know, they're trying to break into, like, Wells Fargo, like, Citibank, like, big places where they're just, like, people breaking the Gucci. Like, I saw someone drive a car out, like, steal a car out of a car dealership. My friend showed me a video of a dude doing bulldozer, like, with a bulldozer, like, doing donuts in the middle of the street. Like, I think a lot of it's just people doing crazy shit to get people to pay attention to them. To be like, we're upset, we're outraged, like, we're gonna fuck stuff until you pay attention and try to protect us for, like, once.
And I think people are really, they've kind of, like, there's been a weird couple, like, 2 months now of, like, just, like, not a lot of directed passion or energy towards something for a lot of people. So when this came up, people jumped on an opportunity to work towards something with a group of people and, like, have something to do.
Yeah, especially for something that I think is incredibly important.
Yeah.
This is just the buildup of years and years and years of just systematic racism, low-key. I don't know much about it, being who I am, but for the past years, just what I've observed on the news is there's been many peaceful protests by the Black Lives Matter movement over police, like, brutality, over people who are just walking on the street or living their lives. Or the one that really breaks my heart that happened is the caretaker. He was just a caretaker worker taking care of an autistic person, and cops just went up and he begged them not to shoot just because the autistic person was carrying a toy truck or something like that. And it just shows that something is wrong, and people are aware of that. And there has been countless efforts throughout the years of trying to bring awareness to this issue, and it's just been kind of doubted by the media and by our government on what is true, like, what people are truly upset about. You know, it's about, like, not just these specific people who did wrong, it's about what people think overall in our culture, you know? It's not just specific people or just police officers that do wrong things. Those are just reflections of what seated racism is in our culture currently, at least. With social media, we've taken, like, this has become, like, so obvious to the public, and so now that we are in this vulnerable position of this pandemic, you know, and this has happened again, and it's horrifying what happened to George Floyd. Like, it's horrifying. And so people are just, we are already so vulnerable in this country, and we're already so hurt because of this pandemic and because this injustice has happened again. And, like, we all have focused our attention on it. I don't really watch cable news per se. I don't watch it. My mom, she does kind of watch it. We don't pay for it. We don't have cable. We do have, like, I think it's like CBS or something news. And it's just, it's very right-winged, and it's very, like, that's what it is. They talk about the riots and what happened to George Floyd, like, they're not one, like, they're not kind of the causing of each other, you know, like, the protest started with what happened. Whether or not a lot of the violence is happening from the protesters making a point about George Floyd or other groups trying to just fuel the fire of these riots, you know, we don't know. Well, I can only really speak for CBS News because that's the one we get free, but they are theorizing that it's more just the straight protesters that are causing these riots. It's just the Black Lives Matter protesters that are doing damage to these towns. But I'll look on the internet and I'll see videos of, like a supposed white supremacist shutting, like, burning a sandwich shop or something like that. Like, it's just absolutely insane. Like, we don't know who is actually causing the damage and what this is for. Is it for
making the point? Is it for standing up to, like, what is happening, or is it just for destruction and distracting people from the actual cause? And I think a lot of the typical news can sway you one way or the other, depending on what you choose to intake, like what media you choose to intake. You really have to choose, like, what media you have, or else you'll just get confused, honestly, because news isn't really the truth. You really just have to research for yourself. You'll find a general event, and it'll be two different opinions on what actually happened at the event, at least during this riot.
Kurt and I talk about this a lot, because that's the thing, like, we're like, oh, let's change the world, but, like, that's a big statement to make, and you have to, you know, we're only 17, but if you want to say something like that, like, you have to back it up. So we, like, obviously we think about how that's gonna happen, but in all honesty, this system was made broken.
It was made broken, and
I don't think that we can fix something that was broken in the first place, and so I don't really think that we can fix the system from trying to fix, like, taping up little leaks and screws, like, in the system to try to, like, make it keep going. I think we need Band-Aids. An entire... like a restart, almost like a full new idea or perspective. I think I'm done trying to go inside of the system and change it within itself, because in all honesty, I don't think that change will happen from that.
My only hope is, like, yeah, it's really difficult for one person to make a change, like we were talking about the other day, but I think we can hope to, you know, help benefit people through using the system, but in long term, we really are going to need to restart to rebuild something that works better and more efficiently and is nicer to our planet and nicer to everybody.
Because it's not sustainable whatsoever.
Yeah, it's not sustainable what we're doing.
But, and you know, I'm like, I want to be an attorney. Like, I'm going into the judicial system. Like, I want to go, like, I'm going into that. And obviously, like, I'm not going in without any respect towards what the system is or, like, understanding of what it is. And, like, I'm going in and I'm, you know, you got to learn what it is to, like, understand what's going on. But I'm not going into it in my mind, like, by the time I'm done, I don't want it to be a system anymore. Like, by the time I'm done being an attorney, I don't really want the job of an attorney to be the same. I don't want to keep the job the entire time. Like, I want to purposefully kind of mess things up within it. And, like, that's fine in my mind, just because that's just kind of what needs to happen. That's
kind of the point.
And
I think part of it for me, too, is, like, I'm going into school to study public policy, and I've for a while now thought about doing things involving public education, but the world we live in now with coronavirus and things are starting to really fall apart. If there's something that happens in our world, you know, whether it's climate change or more intense riots, and there's like a large need in society for something, I will probably have to shift my career goals.
Yeah.
Because really, I want to do public education because I see it as one of the biggest, like, holes in the system, but if there is a bigger hole that's created by coronavirus, then I would probably have to change what I plan to do.
Yeah, same. I honestly, like, Kurt and I are both going into jobs that involve kids more so, just because, like, they're the future.
And we're kids.
They're the future, and, like, so we're kids. And I think, like, there's kind of that frustration from when you're, like, when you're a kid, especially when you grow up here, and we have all this technology, so we get to see how messed up the world is, but we don't get to participate really in anything that's gonna change anything about it, because we have a school of 100 kids and nothing's really gonna change if we, like, stand up and do a protest there, or, like, it feels a little stuck here when you want to do so many different things and you want to change so many things, but you're here. And so I think that's kind of traveled into our mindset to be like, well, I think that's kind of like every kid's mindset a little bit. So, like, and there's just that's just like, that's the next people that are going to be there the longest, and I think they're obviously the most important.
And there's some things about growing up here that you learn that, like, just, like, some of the community and systems, and the way people treat each other, like, we also know how people can live together and not be as bad as other places in the world that we hear all these horrible things about and that we don't see in our own community, and it can be confusing. But, I don't know, we also have ideals of how we could point things to, or change things to look more like what we know it can be.
Yeah. So, facts on that. Bosh. Couldn't say that myself.
Couldn't get the charge.
I wasn't really doing much in January. I was just kind of going to high school and doing my classes and hanging out. Yeah, I thought if this whole thing didn't happen, I just think everything would be normal as I as I thought it would be. Like, the events that would happen. Yeah, there wasn't really much major thing. I was excited for the birth of my new niece, and she came right as this whole pandemic started, before the hospitals got weird. It was so strange. The day we visited her before she, like the first day we visited her before she gave birth, that we didn't have to get our temperature checked at the hospital, but after she was born, we did. It was strange. Earlier in the earlier months, I was just mostly thinking about my future and what I wanted to do in college and my major. I hope to major in environmental science, as my goal still is. It hasn't been really impacted by this pandemic. It really has only strengthened, because I think about all of the materials that need to be made for the pandemic and how potentially damaging they can be to the environment. You know, one of my main concerns that I want to try to contribute to is I want to try to find alternatives to many of the packagings that we use in shipments and everything, like all this plastic that is just made to be thrown away. And now with the rise of this pandemic, I predict more of it's just going to be present. Like, the coffee shop that I worked at, we started having to wrap every single, like, self-serve pastry that we had. Like, we couldn't have customers touch any of the candy bars. Like, so with the rise of everybody being more aware of germs, more of this plastic packaging is going to come out of that. And so that really worries me. And so it's more of my focus and my goal is to go to school and learn how to. I hope I can still make a difference with my career and not have the world be dominated by whatever chaos happens in the next decade. Yeah, because I just have a feeling the next decade is just going to be chaotic if this is how it started out. The effects that are happening to our planet and, like, the damage we are doing is just, it's unstoppable at this point. Like, at least, like, in my mind currently, you know, with just the corporations that make all those things and that, like, continue to pump them out, and that we really have no choice but to buy them, especially when we are all stuck at home, you know, like the people, like things like food shipments in boxes, like all of, like, each container of food, it has to be vacuum sealed in a plastic bag. Like, every little chicken breast, every, like, piece of, like, broccoli, like, it's insane. And, like, where does that plastic go for the entirety of America, even just America? If this progresses and if this is, like, our future advancement in our capitalist society, then that's just, it's really just, it ruins it. You know, either we need to adapt and find a material that won't stay on the planet forever, or we just need to not do the shipping stuff until we can find that material. Like, that's really my goal in life, is to isolate a problem that is really just stricken our world. Like, there's just so many of them, and, like, I just want to work on it and try to figure out a way, you know, because, like, a way for humans to coexist, because we are really out of touch with our environment, and it's really taking a toll on the planet we live on, and it's sad, and most people just can't do anything about it, and, like, it's difficult for the average person to, especially now, especially if things get worse. So that's why I'm not too upset about things. I know that something needs to happen in this country, and I think many people in my generation feels the same, like, something needs to radically change. And sometimes a little destruction is kind of necessary for that. And, you know, it's just whether or not, it just needs to be based in something real and something good, in my opinion. And so the people protesting for what happened to George Floyd and rioting might necessarily not be in the wrong for hitting a glass window on a Chase bank, but people who are just exaggerating the problem of these riots and making the people who are protesting
be viewed in a negative light, they're the problem. The people who are just destroying because to be destructive. And I know a lot of people who are participating in these riots are doing that. But a lot of people are actually trying to get attention and trying to get the government to get the government to see that they can't just pull one over on us anymore. You know, something is wrong. Something needs to change. And a lot of people are starting to realize that because of social media, because we have nothing else to do but be kind of be angry at the government, you know, like not just be like, why is despite everyone's best, quote unquote, best efforts. You know, it's really just revealing all of the issues in the government.
Yeah, there's definitely a feeling of being sidetracked. I mean, in the beginning of 2020, I thought I was going to go to college in the fall for sure. And I was thinking about the summer with my friends and finishing out high school. And definitely threw all of us off with coronavirus and switching to online schooling. Honestly, I have personally loved it. I have loved having more time to organize my own work, and I can work more, and I make more money, and I can hang out with my friends more. But a couple, you know, the two that I'm allowed to see, but but there's it's a weird to have all of our plans kind of thrown off. I think the only thing I can really think about is I kept telling myself, like, when I felt sidetracked, it was, like, this moment, this week, and then college. And nothing in the middle really made sense or was going to be weird and confusing. And, like, all that really mattered to me was, like, this moment. And then I could conceptualize that week. But conceptualizing beyond that was too hard. But then college was just, like, the far distant thing I made in my mind. Hopefully we'll still get to go. Hopefully we'll still get to go to college. We're both going to go to small schools, and they have money, so it'll be easier for them to accommodate if we need to do, like, a social distancing on campus version. But it's weird to talk. My speech for the auditorium is about the future, and I'm just kind of, like, not sure exactly what I'm going to say, because the future is so uncertain, and not a lot of us don't know what we're going to do. And what worries me more is that a lot of us, the default is to stay here now. And that's what worries me more than anything else, is that a lot of the kids...
Yeah.
It's hard for kids to get out now, because we really do have to... We're supposed to stay where we are.
Yeah, it is really difficult. And that's what I do feel for a lot of kids in, like, rural towns or less, like, more, like, less wealthy towns, I guess, just because it's kind of like, this is what we have. Yeah. And, like, if we're stuck, like, they have no, like, it's kind of, our parents don't have normal, like, day-to-day jobs where we have experience out in the world on how to get those jobs or how to prepare ourselves for those things. It's just, like, when we go, college is the only thing that preps us for that, like, right out of high school, maybe, if we can make it past. And it's just, like, it makes it seem like a way bigger obstacle in those people's minds now that the coronavirus is here. And it just seems like the easier option is obviously just to stay here, which sucks, but...
Yeah. Definitely.
But for me, personally, the beginning, I felt so incredibly... like, the beginning of the quarantine towards... Like April-ish, I think, well, I felt really, really sidetracked, and just because I was really, really, like, in my room at home a lot, and I felt really, like, I just wasn't getting anything done, but now where I'm at, I have never been more, like, zoned in, honestly, in, like, months,
and I know a year. people feel bad for this seniors, but this is the better half of senior year, like,
this was better than the first half, in all honesty, and especially with, like, with all of this stuff happening, like, politically and with all these riots and everything, and I understand that I might not necessarily be going to college in the next semester, but I just know that there's stuff to do. I don't know. Yeah. I think that there's still things that interest me and excite me. I know that the world's still happening, and I know that there's still things going on. I'm just kind of working on what I'm working on. I don't really feel like I feel like when you say, like, it's sidetracked, it feels a bit more like a pause, and I don't like the idea of taking a pause just because, like, you have no idea how long you're going to live.
It doesn't feel like a pause anymore.
Yeah, it used to feel like a pause, but now it feels like I consciously press play and now I just have to keep living because I'm alive. And, like, it's kind of like I can't really be stopped.
I think we're lucky to live in an area where we're not actually stuck in our homes in an apartment. We can drive out into the woods to a park, or we can drive somewhere secluded and not feel like we're stuck.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit easier for us to appreciate the positive side of coronavirus. Definitely. But it's, yeah.
Because at school, it was we had to wake up every morning at 8 to go to school until 11 and then do jack for 5 hours until we got to go home. And I had to, like, every day was just blank space. It felt like
we were wasting our time at school because we didn't have many core classes as seniors. And a lot of our classes were already online. So to just have that out of the way, it almost, even though this is, like, the first time that a class has had this and hasn't gone through graduation, it feels more right. It feels really right that I'm... Partly too, like getting to spend so much time at home and in this community before I go off. Like it almost just makes sense to me that I'm home more before I leave for college. I don't know.
I don't feel sidetracked. I think it's different than the world we lived in, but it doesn't, especially with me being able to go to university next year in person, you know, it hasn't really thrown off my goals. And like, because I can align. I can reconfigure my goals and what I want to do with my life with however the world is, you know. My plan for my future seems currently intact. And that is all of that is because my university told me we're going next year. If I was told I was going on online school, I would not know what I would do because I wouldn't pay money to go to online school. I would just have to stay here. I would not go to school next year, and so that would sidetrack myself. But luckily, I was fortunate enough to pick a school that is continuing to plan to have students in attendance during these weird pandemic times. Honestly, I think what has happened has kind of centered me a little bit, you know, just like not going to school, you know, every day and not focusing on something. I just kind of feel like just being at my house is cool for me. It's fine because I wasn't doing that a lot. I didn't get to be at my house every day during the daytime. You know, I had to be in town at school, sometimes doing nothing, doing worthless stuff. And so now I feel like I can just put my time and my energy into what I want around here. And I really like doing that. I like to paint. I like to garden. And I like to work on my hobbies and ready myself for going to college next year. I've already connected with my roommate and everything. And we're all excited to go. We've been FaceTiming as well. Yeah, it's just really given me a chance to, like, step back and think about, like, what's up? What needs to, like, what do I want? Like, what makes me happy? School is fine. School is great. But it can be distracting, you know, and like especially when you're a senior, and I didn't really have much to do, to be honest. So I am Eve.
I am Natalia.
I am Karina.
I'm Justin.
I wish I could say it would be okay. I wish I could say it would be fine, but it's hard to say this sort of thing when some see my existence as my crime. I wish I could say keep your head up. I wish I could say keep on going. But even now I feel the weight of not knowing. They say what goes around comes around and so on and so forth. So why then do we give others so much less than what they're worth? If this were all some medicine, this misery just a vaccine, then maybe I could understand why. Some crave it, some perpetuate it, and some peddle it just for some green. But I doubt it, and I doubt that we'd give up without a fight. Because I know that only when we come together can I say we'll be okay. We'll be all right.
That's all for this month's edition of You Speaks Out. Laneyville Healthy Starts Coalition Drug Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's You Speaks Out. Our environmental protection strategies in the community, also known as EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of the National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we are working towards reducing young youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Laytonville community. If you are interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089 or jama@laytonville.org. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Robert, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California 95490, or through the website www.youspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of the show, and listen to many hours of previous programs in streaming and downloadable audio. The views expressed in this program are not necessarily those of this radio station. They are the views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is free to be rebroadcasted upon notification. Our shows are posted monthly at our website, youthspeaksout.net, and you can find our podcast link there or on iTunes. Our next show will be posted in July. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in July.
I've decided to be happy. I've decided to be glad. I've decided to be grateful for all I ever had. I've decided to let go of all this pain tonight. I've decided to let go of all these demons inside. Feel sad. I've decided to be great.